Hello, I'm Juliana Needham, and this is Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. Now, in a few weeks' time, a new US president will be elected. But what does that mean for deal-making in one of the most active sectors in the country, oil and gas? Now, there have been loads of big deals recently in the industry, but will that continue? To find out, I'm joined by Carlos Martinez, who is an editor for Merger Market in Canada, and by Serafina Smith, a reporter who covers energy and antitrust. Hi, Serafina. Hi, Carlos. Thanks for joining me today.
Hello.
Hi.
So you've been speaking to sources in the oil and gas industry and advisors to the sector. Could we start with a big question? Who do your sources think would be more favourable for the industry, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris?
Yes. Unsurprisingly, all of them agree that Donald Trump is going to be favourable to the industry. He normally uses the phrase drill, baby, drill during their campaign trail. So no surprise there, at least compared to Kamala Harris and the Biden administration. But again, it's not a slam dunk. There's some nuances there. And one key decision that the whole industry is looking at is who the next president is going to name to head the FTC. That's going to be the big sort of pathway as to what's going to come in the next administration.
Yeah, so that's something people will be watching closely. It's expected that if Donald Trump wins the election, he will probably name a new head of the Federal Trade Commission to replace Lina Khan. Lina Khan has been seen as generally very aggressive on consolidation in general, particularly in the oil and gas industry. Over the last year or so, we've seen a number of big oil mergers, and the FTC has issued a second request, which is when they request additional materials to examine whether a merger might violate the antitrust laws in a number of big deals, including Chevron's acquisition of Hess, the Occidental Crown Rock deal, Southwestern Energy Chesapeake, and Endeavor Energy and Diamondback Resources. However, the FTC has not blocked any of these deals, and there hasn't been any litigation. And we saw in the unusual consent decree that the agency issued in the Pioneer Exxon deal that the agency actually found that crude oil is a global market, which means it's pretty difficult for a number of U.S. players alone to be able to control the market. So what we've seen is a number of second requests, but not necessarily litigation. And the advisors have told us that has basically added time to the deal, but not necessarily an expectation that the deal will be challenged in court. If Kamala Harris wins the election, she has not said publicly whether she will replace Khan or not, but we can expect more of the same or something more similar to what we've seen under the Biden administration.
Great, thank you. And Carlos, coming back to you, can you talk about how else the industry could benefit from a Trump administration?
Yes, of course. So if Trump wins a second term with a White House friendlier to the oil and gas, it's expected that more private equity money is going to flow into the industry. They won't be so scared as being publicly shamed about investing in fossil fuels. So you'll see firms like NCAP, NGP, Carnelian, which are already doubling down on the oil and gas sector, probably doing it in a much sort of bigger way. It's part what Serafina was saying. If the FTC is friendlier to deals, then private equity has more of a say, like, okay, now it's time to pour money into it, consolidate the market, roll ups, and all that said. Also, Trump could also resume issuing permits for oil and gas drilling in federal lands that has been sort of stopped during the Biden administration. Kamala Harris, I mean, she did like a U-turn on fracking. Before she said she was going to ban fracking, now she's not, but still I don't think she's publicly said anything about permits in federal land. But it's expected Trump will allow drilling on federal land, such as in Alaska. And even though it's a complex and very costly project to drill for oil and gas in Alaska, it could allow sort of oil and gas companies to expand their inventories. So that's another reason why private equity might flow more money into the industry under a Trump administration.
Thank you. I'm going to come on to the mineral rights in a moment. But Carlos, I just wanted to follow up with a question about where ESG fits into this process with private equity, because it feels from Europe, where ESG is still very much on the agenda, like the tide has turned a bit in America. And it's not such a popular topic with investors.
Yes, that is true. I think the tide sort of changed a little. And we did report that once Exxon announced that huge deal to buy Pioneer, it was a watershed moment. And I think everyone realized, okay, fossil fuels are here to stay. There's still money to be made in fossil fuels. And there's some private equity firms specialized in energy that are very open about saying, we're just going to double down. And all of those experienced management teams of companies that have recently been sold, we're going to back them so they can acquire more acreage and they can build another company. And we can, down the road, IPO or sell it to a bigger, like an Exxon or Chevron. So I do think that that is changing. And also, institutional investors might be shying away from fossil fuels, but then you have family offices, high net worth individuals. So it is, and there is a way for money to flow still into fossil fuels. It might not be openly. You could do it through asset-backed securitizations. You could do it at other type of loans. The tide has been changing. And again, a lot of companies have stopped talking openly about ESG just because it carries a lot of political sort of messaging. So I think that's part of it.
Thank you. And Serafina, coming back to you, could you talk about the mineral rights? Because mineral rights, including oil, are privately owned in the US, aren't they? How does that play into the potential for M&A in the sector?
So mineral rights are privately owned in the US, which is why drilling permits on federal land is actually only a small part of the upstream sector in the US. And that will also blend with state regulations, which in some cases are more important than federal regulations. So for some companies, state regulations are much more important for federal ones. And we've heard from sources, for example, that, you know, if Donald Trump wins the election, there might be a clash between the federal government and states like California, which have some of the strictest emissions regulations in the nation. While if Harris wins the presidency, there might be more clashes between her administration, which might have more of a focus on ESG, like we were talking about, and states like Texas, which are more permissive when it comes to oil and gas.
And would any types of companies within the wider oil and gas sector be more affected than others, depending on who becomes the president?
Well, going back to what I was saying earlier about the FTC, something to keep an eye out for is that the FTC may have more of an impact on oil field services companies rather than upstream producers. Like I said before, the FTC has actually found that crude oil is a global market, which makes it difficult for the agency to challenge a deal in that sector. Whereas antitrust markets in oil field services tend to be narrow and more concrete. So they might have a smaller geographic region or a smaller universe of services that would be affected by a merger. Both Democratic and Republican administrations challenged oil field services deals in the past. For example, in 2016, Barack Obama's administration sued to block Baker Hughes' merger with Halliburton. The companies ultimately abandoned that deal. And a year later, Trump's Department of Justice challenged the merger of GE's oil and gas unit with Baker Hughes. One thing to note with this, however, is that it is usually the Department of Justice that looks into oil field service deals rather than the FTC. But it fits into the general question of how might the antitrust landscape affect these companies.
Great. And just one last question to finish on. If there is a new administration, if there's a Republican win with Donald Trump becoming president again, how quickly do your sources anticipate changes being made to the sector and potentially a new chair at the FTC?
We didn't go a lot into that, but I did hear from two sources, as expected, it's going to be fast and furious with Trump. The only upside, I guess, in the oil and gas sector is most of them say it's going to be business as usual. If anything with Trump, it's just going to get faster, deals are going to get faster. But as Serafina was saying, none of those big deals have been blocked. Like, they have been approved. It just, under this Biden administration, it's taking longer than expected. It might not take as much with Trump, but no one is taking that into account when doing deal making. That's what sources are saying. Whether it's Trump or Harris, we're still going to be making the same thing. It's a global market. Consolidation opportunities are still there, whether it's Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. It will be perhaps a bit chaotic under Trump, just sort of from what we saw the first time around. But I think the oil and gas sector is sort of well prepared. And again, this is constantly sources remind me, these are companies that are operating in Africa, civil war territories, South America, where they're changing sort of policies, and it's a right of center, left of center, everything changes after 6-4 years. So they know about this sort of, perhaps it's unusual for us to be talking about so much regulatory change in the US, but again, they've been operating in worse places with worse sort of political climate. So they're used to it. They'll handle it. They're big boys.
Great. That's a good note to end on. Carlos and Serafina, thanks very much. That was Carlos Martinez and Serafina Smith. Thanks for listening to this episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it and please rate and review the show. To find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.